Anybody bring a Bible? Praise the Lord. It's always good to bring a Bible. We don't put the scripture up on the screen, so you might be totally lost. It's good to have a Bible so you can look it up for yourself. Amen. Does anybody else have a word, a testimony? Because the Bible says you always do. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Did I say that yet? I just said get your Bible, didn't I? Colossians chapter 3. We started with it the last time I talked to you. Does anybody like the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. You do? Well, praise the Lord. You know why you like it? It's because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. And He's desiring it. He said, remember, He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Say, well, I wish I would grow. I wish I would grow in the Lord. Well, in order to grow in the Lord, you avail yourself of the Word, of the Scriptures, of the Word of God. Because the Word of God was given by the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And the Spirit of God takes that Word and it brings it to pass in you. You don't bring to pass the Word of God. You don't make it happen. God does. Whew! Boy, that's a relief. Amen? I said that's a relief. Are you happy, people, or what? What are you waiting on here? Just joy up. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you waiting on something to happen? It may not. It just may not happen. We're just rejoicing, giving praise to God. I'm just talking a little bit. Because I want you to hear that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is what brings growth. That's what changes you. You don't change by changing. You change by meditating on the Bible, meditating on the promise of God. That's how you change. God changes you and He transforms your behavior as you worship Him and as you spend time in His presence. Hallelujah. All right, Dave, this thing's ringing a little bit. Do I need to go somewhere else? Chapter 3 in Colossians, we read this the last time. I'm just kind of blessed through the first three verses. If you then be risen with Christ, this is kind of putting us in our position, or since that's the case, since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It's the exhortation. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So your whole residence is changed. So His exhortation to you is no longer when you leave the building. You know, we're doing okay on Sunday morning until about noon or 1, or maybe all the way down till Monday morning. But somehow, you ever notice Monday morning is a shift in your mentality? It's almost like, you know, you begin to think like the world. Well, back in the driver's seat again. Amen? Anybody notice that? It's kind of true. Because that's how your mind is, that's how this world is built. This world is built so that your mind and your body are on track for the business day. Amen? Or for the school day. Or for the mom day, if you're a mom. And so everything works that direction. And so what God is saying to you is, you live in heaven. Since you're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above and not the things on the earth. Amen. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits. Where Christ sits. And where he sits, I sit. Amen. Where he sits, I sit. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm retired from this world. I said, I'm retired from this world. Though I show up on Monday morning, you know, I'm retired from this world. This world doesn't run me, doesn't rule me, doesn't have my number. Amen? It doesn't have my number anymore. It can't get my goat anymore. Amen? You get to work, somebody got your goat already. At Norman's, we got plenty of goats out there. Somebody's always got our goat. I'm sorry. If you had goats, you'd know what I was talking about. Anybody got goats? Jonathan's got a goat. Kelton, no. Oh. Well, I'm not going to talk anymore about Jonathan and Kelly's goat. Somebody got their goat. Oh, praise the Lord. Messed that part of the message up. That wasn't going to go long. So every time you show up, the enemy wants to draw you into his plan, into his agenda. Who's the god of this world? Satan is the god of this world. He's got himself a world. Wouldn't that be great if you had yourself a world? Tommy, wouldn't it be great if you had yourself a world all of your own to play with, all you wanted to? You know, you basically do. You just hang out with Satan, and he'll let you play with his world. All right? But see, you're not in this world anymore. You're retired. You're in heaven. You live in heaven. I live in heaven. See, and to manifest and to meditate upon these things every day, to when you rise up, you are risen again. When I rise up, it's like rising from the dead every day. Amen? So when you rise up, you should like rise from the dead. Rise up in Christ. Rise up in the name of the Lord. It says verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory. Mortify, kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Count them. Listen, what that means is, you don't, like Jonathan mentioned a while ago, you know, cutting your arm, cutting your hand off, plucking your eye out. No, mortify, if you look back at verse 3 when he says, for you are dead. Then you go back to where in Romans 6:11. What does Paul say to, he tells you how to think. He says, reckon yourself, therefore, dead unto sin. Reckon it that way. Write it down that way. Well, it looks like something else. No, write it down the way I tell you. Don't write it down the way you saw it. Write it down the way I see it. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, he's saying here, mortify the members which are upon the earth. Count them as dead. Count them as dead. No matter what they appear like, count them as dead. See, you've been looking at your performance, you've been looking at your failure, you've been looking at your body and the way that you are not fulfilling God's promise or God's word. The problem is, who are you looking at? I'm looking at me. I'm looking at how I did. I'm looking at how I'm performing or how I'm failing. See, God says to look at His promise. He says that very much in the very beginning here of this particular chapter, saying if you're risen with Christ, think this way. He tells us over in Romans chapter 8 to think this way. Let's read it. Over in Romans chapter 8 there. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8 is the wrong way. Wrong. Philippians chapter 4. That's what I want. Philippians chapter 4. How fast can you move on your feet? Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's read that list again. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he's telling you to think on what he tells you. See, God's more interested in you listening to what he has to say than listening to what you have to say. Amen? Because what you have to say is just based on human experience and not based upon what the Holy Spirit is able to perform and do in you. See, God is changing you. He is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And what is well-pleasing in his sight is good for you. It's good for you. It's great for you. It may not be comfortable for your flesh. It may not be comfortable for your outward man, but it is profitable. It is profitable for you because he loves you and he's changing you into his image. And so in changing you in his image, then you become like him. Then you become, one thing Jesus is known for is joy. Amen? So one thing that God wants to work in you, and it's uncomfortable to do, he wants to work joy in you. He wants to produce joy in you. Amen? So we want you to just begin to sing without any purpose at all, without any reason to sing. He's performing that and working that in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight, which will cause you to walk in peace, to walk in joy. So he says here, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That is, count them dead. Those guys are dead. All your members, your body parts, which love to do their own thing, I count them as dead. Well, it just did it by itself. You ever say anything like that? It just did it by itself. The devil made me do it. It just did it by itself. Here's what he's interested in, is you counting that body as dead. Not fix it. Don't fix it. Just say, no, that's not me. That's not me. And begin to worship the Lord. You begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Take him at his word. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, that's your body. And here they are. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Well, this is just who I am. This is just who I am. You ever said that? You're just making an excuse for dead flesh. Huh? I said you're just making an excuse for dead flesh. See, the difference is that he said if you're risen with him, you're not trying to fix something. You're already dead. Well, I just don't understand. No, don't understand. Just you're already dead, and God is changing you. He is actually changing you. And that's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God. It's not just good news. It's the power of God manifesting and transforming and changing you. And all he's saying to you today is to believe that is taking place. Believe that what he said and what he promised, he is able to perform. What he promised, he's able to perform, and he's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. So what I want you to do is to, now listen to me, I'm sounding like I want you to do something. What God wants you to do is to just begin to rest and to praise him and to thank him. When we say do, the doing, the labor is to believe. The labor is to rest. Some of you, that's a labor. Some of you, just to rest is a labor, isn't it? Stop! Slow down. Quit. Stop doing. Stop performing. Stop being something for God. Stop being for something for him and let him be something in you. Brother, it just sounds too simplistic. No, it's actually what God desired to do. It's what he desired to do from the outset, is to walk in you, walk with you. He walked with Adam in the garden. That's what he desired to do, is walk with you. He desired somebody just to come knock on your door and you'd feed them. Sound like a Bible story. Somebody just knocked on your door and you decide whether or not you're going to get up or not. Crawl over your kids. Whether you're going to give or whether you're going to keep the door shut. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm ready. Now, I'm not checking. I'm just going to say I'm ready. See, the problem is most of us, we want to check ourselves because we don't want to fake. You know, we don't want to fake it. We want to be sure we're going to do it before we say we're going to do it. And God's not interested in that. You know, I'm a man of my word, and I don't want to give my word unless I'm going to do it. You know what? You're not a man of your word. You're a liar and a cheater. Amen? You're not a man of your word. You're not a woman of your word. Meaning, from this flesh, we sin. We're selfish. We do things for our own benefit. And the reason that God desired to save you is because he loved you. And he's saving you from your stupid decision. I'm going to go after that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I'll know what to do for God. I want to know what to do. He doesn't want you to know what to do. He doesn't want you to make a decision. He wants you to listen to him and fellowship with him and walk with him. So all of those good deeds you have, like fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, go look that one up, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, that is, those who have not received the gospel of the kingdom, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. You walked in those things. But now you also, listen, put off all these. Or maybe I should give it a little different inflection. You also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now those are the things most people do. Maybe most people don't do the first list, but most of the rest of us do the second list. So not only the bad ones, but even the ones we just kind of let go. See, God's going to manifest himself in that one too. Well, you know, we're not perfect after all. No, you are perfect from the heart. And God's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. See, I want you to meditate on these things. I want you to meditate on these things day and night. Because you're a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Say it, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. They have. And they have. All things have become new. I'm a brand new creation. I'm risen with Christ. I'm crucified with him. Yea, risen again. So I'm risen with him. I am reading out of the Bible, the Word of God. I just wanted you to know. It wasn't the latest book, you know, that we're selling downtown. You know, it was, you know, 15 ways to know God. I'm just reading this out of the Word. I'm just reading out, out of the Word of God. It just says this right here. So God is changing you. He's working that in you, this in you. But you also now put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh my goodness, you got to give up that one too. I mean, I don't even know how to express myself anymore. Praise the Lord. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the lie not to one another. Well, that's just, if you want something impossible, that's it. You know, he got me on the last one. Lie not to one another. I had it until then. Seeing seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So putting on the new man is putting off the old man. How do I put off that old man? Put on the new one. How do I put off the old man? Put on the new one. How do I put off the old man? I can't hear you. Put on the new one. There you have it. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. After him that created the Father who created Christ Jesus. So you're being translated, changed into his image. You're being changed into his image, but not by your deeds. You're not looking like him because you're attempting to look like him. You're looking like him because you spend time with him. You've heard this before. Let's see. Last week. You heard this last week. Let's see. I think you heard it 10 years ago on this exact Sunday. Praise the Lord. Meditating upon these things day and night. Meditating upon these things every day. See, having put on the new man, if we were to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, y'all need to get back to Romans 8, by the way. Somebody needed to hear that. If you're in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Just present them. See when he said, mortify the deeds of your flesh? Just present your body. Lord, this body is your body. Lord, this body is your body. It's no longer my body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let's see here. Lord, I just present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. My body belongs to you. It doesn't get to do what it wants to do. Lord, change my doer. Change my wanter. Change my willer. Change my willer. You know you got a willer that wills its own will? You look over in Philippians chapter 2. He is in me both to what? Will and to do. He's going to will it and do it. He'll will it and do it. He'll will it and do it. Over in Exodus, when they're building the tabernacle, and over in Chronicles, when they're building the temple, he talked about how the giving was done for the temple and for the tabernacle, is that the Lord, the prophets discussed how the Lord made their spirit willing for the giving. And when the giving was given, they had to tell him to stop. Because when the Lord wills it, you're going to do it until he stops you. When the Lord is in you willing it, you're going to stop, whoa, whoa. It's too much. You just keep giving and keep producing and keep doing the will of God until he says, okay, come over here and do something else. Amen? He is in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now here in this scripture, here in Romans, it said, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, like we read. If you'll read this one, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then you go back and study Colossians 3. Study these things. Put them together. Study these things. Huh? Find out how God put the Scripture together. Don't just kind of come over here and expect us to do it for you. Amen? I mean, we only get you an hour a week, for crying out loud. I mean, this is for you. It's just kind of a, we're punting the ball to you. Yeah, just a kickstart. It's up to you. You're going to have to do this. When I say have to do that, it's not pleasing to, listen to me. It's not about, God is not like into being pleased by your goodness and your ticking off a list. It's not what he's interested in. He's interested in, like when you get your kids out of the house, he's interested in seeing you rise to the top and have trusted him and know that he's working, that what he planted in you is being done because he lives in you. And I'm living in my kids. Amen? Everything I taught them, everything I put in them is in there. And so it's my joy, as the Father's joy, to have that same Spirit living on the inside of them and producing the works of God. For me, producing my works. And my work, in that sense, my works, things that I would desire for them, and for them to be blessed, for them to be prosperous, for them to be complete, for them to have everything that I desire that they would have. God's desire is for you to have everything that He has already provided for you to have by His Spirit and not live by the flesh. Because the flesh is not going to do you any good. The flesh is going to destroy you. So what His desire is for His will to be done in you. For your willer to be changed from this world to the kingdom of heaven. Right? Right? And be not conformed to this world. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He's growing. Growing in His grace. You're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. One degree of glory to the next. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We are saved, have been saved. We're being saved. And we shall be saved. At the last day, He'll come and He'll collect you. And your body will be changed. Amen? You getting anything out of this? I'm liking it. So he says, you have put on the new man, and in doing so, the old man is put off, which is renewed in knowledge after the image, looking just like Him, looking just like the Father, who created Jesus, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, as you, elect of God, chosen of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So you're putting on these things. You're putting them on by faith. You're putting them on because He's putting them on you. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on agape. Charity. The word charity is the word agape, which is the unconditional love of God. Love, that is, what does that mean? That means love that loves regardless of the response. Or regardless of the lovability of the object. Love just loves. God is agape. He just loves. He loves me. He loves you. He's not an angry father. He is a loving father. He loves you. His desire is to see you transformed and changed into his image so that, not because he's some kind of megalomaniac, everybody's got to look like him, but it's because that the only blessing in you, for you to live is Christ. Otherwise, you'll die. Otherwise, you'll be dead. Otherwise, you'll have no life. Otherwise, you'll live in misery. Amen? When trouble comes, you'll be in trouble. But living in Christ Jesus, the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, so many people are Christian, but they're miserable because they believe God's mad at them, and so then that's why their life isn't working. No, you're just believing wrong. I'm not saying you're not going to have a trouble. What I'm going to say is the reason you're miserable in the trouble is because you believe God's mad at you. That's the only reason you're miserable. If you knew God loved you, you'd be fine in your trouble. Well, brother, I don't know about... No. If you believe that you are loved by God, nothing will move you. There's a lot of trouble that comes. But you know, if somebody knows they're beloved by God Himself, the Father in heaven, they're not writing things off as things that God did or they messed up on, and so God's mad at them, and so they're not getting blessed or they're not getting what should be happening. No. Once you know that God loves you, no matter what else is taking place, you're at rest. You're in peace. I know you still have a flesh, and I know the flesh still kind of gets a little, I mean, when somebody sticks it with a pen, it might move a little bit. Amen? You might move a little bit. You might get, but God is working that in you, which is well-pleasing in His sight. I've had a few pins stuck in me. Some of you had bigger pins stuck in you. You've had trouble. God is in you. He loves you. Listen to me. He loves you. He's changing you. He's turning you. He's transforming you. He loves you. He is the God of heaven. He's the God who has created heaven and earth. He's the God who created you. He loves you. And when He works that in you, then you begin to walk in love toward everyone in the planet. Jesus walked in love not because people were lovable. Jesus walked in love because that's who He is. Do you know that's who you are? That's who you are. Now, I know your little brain gets worked up here and there, but that's not you. That's why you go back to Colossians 3. Since you're risen with Christ, He's letting you know that you still have a flesh that's still hanging around. Right? But you know something else. It's that you have Jesus on the inside of you, and He's bigger than your flesh. And He rules. He runs the show. Because when He runs the show, then I'm blessed. If I respond on my own, I'm in trouble. If I respond on my own, if I respond according to my own juices, respond according to my own fears, and respond according to my own desires, I think I need to kill you. You know? And that would not be good for me because I would be in jail. Or I would be dead. Or I'd be something would happen. It's just not good. It's not helpful. All right? Well, I think I could get away with it. Well, maybe you could. But you'd be destroyed. You'd be destroyed in your heart, in your mind. See, what the enemy does is he loves to get you involved, and then he takes you down to his town. And you get to live in his town. And it gets to destroy you because that's all he cares about. The enemy cares about one thing, and he cares about destroying you. He doesn't care about giving you a prize for doing a good job. He will kill you. He doesn't say, the devil does not say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Does he? But no, he doesn't. He does not say, well done. He says, thank you. You know, the story of the, y'all heard the story, right? Story of the, was it some duck? It's either a duck or a frog or something. And a scorpion says, hey, I need to get across this river. Would you let me ride on your back over there? No, you'll sting me. Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I mean, if I did that, then you'd drown and I'd drown too. Okay, talked him into it. So got on, sure enough, out in the middle of the river. Got him. Said, what'd you do that for? It's just in me. It's just who I am. That's just who the devil is. He's just out to kill you. He'll lie. He'll lie to you. You know, if you thought you had a good idea, and you know it was the enemy, he's lying. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. But your Father in heaven, he loves you. He's giving you everything. He's giving you everything. Amen? Praise the Lord. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Oh, you better forgive. Listen, you better forgive somebody right now. Just pick somebody. I know you got five or six, so just forgive somebody right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Just forgive somebody right now. Just write that one. Take that one off your list. Amen. Can you think of some? You got them? Can you think of them? Forgive that one right now. Now, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Just forgive them right now. Just forgive them. Because, see, forgive your dad. Forgive your mom. Forgive your coworker that messed that job up really bad. Forgive your boss. Come on, I'm trying to help you. Just pick one. Say, forgive right now. Say, and you know what? You're free. If you'll forgive, you're free. See, if you're not forgiving, you're not free. If you're not forgiving someone, you're not free. Because, you know, they don't care. Most people don't care that you're holding something against them, especially the ones that are dead. Yeah. Yeah, just let that one go. You go out to the funeral home, and you go out to the graveyard and spit on the grave. You know, they don't care. See, you need to forgive them. You know, forgive the person that hurt you. Maybe your problem is it may not be that you're as angry as you are hurt. Okay? Forgive the person that hurt you. Really, I mean, people think about anger. Yeah, you know, like forgiveness is, well, I just, you know, you're just so angry and bitter. I'll tell you what, is forgiveness for hurts. Those are bitterness. Hurts that were, I mean, you're actually hurt. More than you're angry, you're hurt. But God is saying to you, forgive. Forgive that one today. Forgive them. Forgive them, because then you'll be free. Because you're giving not by your power and authority and your strength, but you're forgiving because God has forgiven you. You forgive and you're free. You're free from that thing. You're free from that bondage. It's a bondage, okay? It's a bondage. Don't ask too many questions. You know, that just means you're trying to get out of it. You know, when your kids ask too many questions, it's pretty much all they're trying to do is get out of it. You know yourself, don't you? You're asking too many questions because you're trying to get out of doing it. Stop asking all those questions. Just do it. Right, Zach? Yeah, powerful. Awesome. Just do it. Just forgive. Just do it. Obey your pastor. Forgive. Amen? Forgive the other pastor for not being here today. Forgive him. Forgive him if he goes on vacation. It's all Peggy's fault. Praise the Lord. All right, now. So you're putting on, as the elect of God, You are holy and beloved. You're putting on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You're putting all that on. How are you putting that on? It's because you're spending time in His presence because He loves you. You're forbearing one another. What does that mean? Forgiving one another. And above all these things, put on agape, that is the love of Christ, the love of God, the love of the Father. Put it on. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body. And be you thankful. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let these things take place. Let these things take place. There's some other things you let. There's some other things you let take place. Let these things take place. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Submission is under the Lord. Wives submitting themselves to their own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, where'd that guy go? I was just talking to him. I ran him off. Praise the Lord. We'll just wait until Zach gets back. What are y'all doing for lunch? Children, obey your parents. I'll just talk to Allie then. Kyle. Okay, I'll talk to Kyle. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Oh, there's yours, Nathan. Lest they be discouraged. Servants, employees, those who have somebody you work for, obey in all things your boss, your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. Fearing God. Amen? So your work is even unto the Lord, isn't it? My work is unto the Lord. The things that I do with my hands, I'm doing them unto God. I'm doing them unto the Lord. Because the Lord is my provision, not my job. I said the Lord is your provision, not your job. You know, you got to know that when you go to work tomorrow, is that the Lord is your provision, not your job. Because unemployment is high. And if you were to become unemployed, you know what? That job might not be your provision, but God still would be. Amen? God's always your provision, not your job. Your job is not your provision. You know, the Lord is your provision. He's your provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who's more than enough. Isn't it good to be self-employed? Amen. Be employed by God. Be working for God. Yeah, but I got a job. No, you work for God. You work for God. You're His son. You work in the vineyard. And He supplies all your needs. God supplies all my... See, we're in this church because God supplies all of our needs. We're in this church because this is just a little embassy of the kingdom of heaven. If you was a Jehovah's Witness, you'd call this the kingdom hall. A little bit of the kingdom right here. Uh-oh, I've made them mad. Kingdom, the kingdom hall, the kingdom of heaven. Now, take that off the tape, Monica. No, this is a little piece of heaven, isn't it? Amen? Problem is, a little piece of heaven, it disappears. It moves when you move. It moves when you move. Charlie, it moves when you move. Like that baby, it moves when you move. Oops, forgot the baby. No, not yet. Just carrying that baby around. Amen? Jesus is in you. He goes where you go. You go where he goes. Even better, you go where he goes. Heaven. He goes where you go. And you go where he goes. It's not this building that's the church, see. It is when you're here. It is when you're here, but when you're gone, he's somewhere else. I didn't want you to just meditate on the kingdom of heaven. You know, preaching sometimes, you know, you can just keep preaching and preaching and preaching. And it's good. But what we need, what the purpose and the intent of preaching and teaching is so you'll dwell in the kingdom. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? It's so you'll dwell in the kingdom of heaven. That's the purpose of all of this. It's just we're encouraging one another. We can be sitting in a circle, you know. We don't have to be sitting like this where you're just looking at me. We're here to encourage and build up one another. Amen? Here to live in the kingdom together. And here to distribute the kingdom to the entire world. Now, if you want to call this the army, this is it. This is Gideon's 300. His wife, he sent home all the rest. This is what's left. Praise the Lord. You're one of the 300. Praise the Lord. Glad you stayed around for it. You know? Praise the Lord. It's good. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we just love you with all of our heart. I love you with all of my heart. Say it. I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Your mercies are new every morning. Every morning your mercies are new. We're just loving to be in your presence, Lord. We love to be transformed by your word. Renew it in our mind according to the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of this world. So we just ask you, Lord God, right now, daily, 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 to cause us to call one another, call up and encourage each other daily while it's called today. We sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we may be just calling somebody on the phone and admonishing them with a psalm. So today, we thank you, Lord God, that you're changing us and transforming us. Let's lift our hands for a minute. Father, thank you. Thank you for just manifesting your word in us, your spirit in us. Father, thank you that we're changed like no other time before. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Ezekiel. These are the days of David. Father, these are the days where you're transforming us and changing us and making us in your image. We love you with all of our hearts. Thank you for your promise and thank you for the fulfillment. And we thank you for the testimonies next week. I thank you for the testimonies next week of changes that have happened that had never happened before because we believe. In Jesus' name, amen.